Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Me'ilah Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin from the Mishnah that begins the third Perek that will be found at the end of Daf Yud Omid Beis. The Mishnah starts off with a list of items concerning which we find the halacha of Chatos Hamesa. This Mishnah contains a list of Chatos, of sin offerings, that are set aside to die. Vlad Chatos. This is a reference to the offspring, the child of an animal that had been dedicated as a sin offering. Utmuras Chatos. This is an animal that received the replication of sanctity from an original Korban Chatos, whereby a person had a sin offering that he had dedicated, and standing by its side was an undedicated common animal, and the owner said, "I want this a common animal to be like this." In other words, replicating the Kedusha, the sanctity that was on the original Chatos onto this common animal. That's called a Tumura. And V'chatos Shemesu Baleo, a sin offering that had been dedicated, but the owner died before it was offered. Yomusu. These three examples are animals that will have to be set aside to die. Another two examples, Vishibra Shnosa, a Korban Chatos, a sin offering, is expected to be an animal under a year of age. If it went over a year of age, it's called Ibra Shnosa, Vishavda Venimtseis Balas Mum, or an animal that was dedicated as a sin offering. It got lost and then found with a blemish. When it was originally dedicated, it was blemish free, it was Tam. But when it was found after it was lost, it turns out to have a blemish. So now, regarding these two examples of Ibro Shnosa and of the Venivsis Balasmum, Im Mishikipru Habailim, if the owners received atonement through another animal, Tomus, then these are to die. The Eina Oisa Tumura, these animals, the Ibro Shnosa and the Ovda Venivsis Balasmum, will not be capable of causing the replication of sanctity onto another animal. Veloinenin velomolan. One is not to derive benefit from them, but however, if one does, he won't be in violation of mi'ila. Ve'im ad shelo kipru habaylim. If the owner found the lost chatas before he achieved atonement through a replacement animal, Tire Achis Stoev Vitimocher, then the animal that he found will be set aside to graze until it develops a blemish. It is then sold. Viovi Bidomeo Acheres, and then he buys a replacement Korban Chatos. V'oiset Tmura Umoelin Bo. This animal, this original animal, will be capable of causing replication of Kedusha, and if one benefits from it, he will be guilty of Mi'ila. Glancing at Rashi at the top, V'imad shelo kipru habaylim ba'acheres nimtzu, if the chatos that was lost was found before the owner achieved atonement through another one, but let's not forget, he found it now with a blemish, but he has not achieved atonement in the meantime. And the owner wants to receive his atonement through a korban chatos, through the value of this one that is now a blemished one. Since it already has a mum, it can be sold immediately. And he will buy a proper korban chatos with its value, with the money that he receives from its sale. The oisa shavra shnosa, the animal whose year passed, tira achisoy v'tom mocher, it shall be set out to graze until it develops a blemish, and then sold. V'yavi b'dame acheres v'yisit mura u'molin bahil v'kedusha kedushas damim. There is its ability to make tmura, and also there's a prohibition of benefiting from it, from this avro shnosa, and that's because it has value, sanctity, kedushas damim. The Gemara, Maishno Resha, the low ka maflig. What is the difference in this Mishnah between the first three examples, where there is no distinction made regarding Kipru versus low Kipru, the owner having yes or not received atonement? Maishno Seifa the ka maflig. The last two examples do feature this distinction, that a distinction is made whether the owner had already received his atonement, then we say that these are to die. And if he didn't yet receive his atonement, then they are sold, and their money is used to purchase a korban chatas. The Gemara answers, if you want to know why a distinction appears only in the Seifa, not in the Resha. Resha psikole. In the case of the Resha, it's unqualified in all cases of whether it be Vlad Chatos, Tmuras Chatos, or Chatos Shemesu Baleo, those animals will be set aside to die. Psikola means it's definitive, hence there's no room for making a distinction. Seifa lo psikole, the final two examples, are qualified. To appreciate this a little more, we glance at the Rashi on the third narrow line, Reisha psikole. The le'olam yamusu, the first three examples that form the beginning of the Mishnah, is unqualified. They will always die. Demai haflogi iko leflugi bereisha. What distinction can you possibly make in the reisha? Hosam leko lemeimar kipru velo kipru. There's no grounds of making a distinction based on the owner either having received atonement or not. Why is there no room for making a distinction? The Vlad Chatos, Utmuras Chatos, these two examples, the offspring of a Chatos and the replica of a Chatos, Inhu Gufayu Lo Havu Chatos, they are themselves, they're not a Korban Chatos. So that there's no issue of whether the owner received atonement or not. You're not going to be able to do anything with these animals as in the context of a Chatos. The third example of the chatos whose owner died, so the owner's dead. There's no room for making a distinction. Once the owner dies, there's no atonement needed for him. But regarding the last two examples, there is a basis for making the distinction. In the last two examples, you were dealing with something that was originally a formal korban chatos, as opposed to the opening cases of Vlad chatos and the Tmuras chatos. They were themselves not a formal korban chatos. Hence, there is a basis for making this distinction. The Gemara asks an unrelated question, but a new question. Ha tano le gabi tmura. This Mishnah appears already in Maseches Tmura. Why then do we have this Mishnah featured in Maseches Tmura and in Maseches Me'ila? The Gemara answers, Tana Hasam Mishum Tmura. This Mishnah is taught in Maseches Tmura because of the law regarding Tmura that's found in this Mishnah. You find toward the end of the second part of this Mishnah, it mentions Eino Osa Tmura, or at the end of the Mishnah, it says Osa Tmura. So halachas of Tmura figure in this Mishnah. That's why this Mishnah has relevance to the tractate of Tmura. Tana Hacha Mishum Ila. And likewise, this Mishnah is taught here because of the details concerning Mi'ila. And since it mentions Mi'ila, it also mentions Halachas of Tmura. Just like over there in Masechas Tmura, since the Mishnah was taught with the focus on Masechas Tmura, the laws of Mi'ila were taught alongside it as well. The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we glanced at our topic heading in the outside margin, Hamafrish Mois Linezirusso. A person had become a nozir upon the termination of his nozir period. A person is expected to bring three sacrifices: a korban oila, shlamim, and chatos. We'll talk here about someone who sets aside monies. He earmarks monies for his nozir korbanos, hamafrish mois linezirusso, velo piresh, and he doesn't specify which monies are for which sacrifices. Mahadin im nehenim mehem. What is the halacha if one derives benefit from those earmarked but unspecified funds? Ma dinam im meis hanozir. What is the halacha if the nozir dies? The Mishnah. Hamafrish mos linezirusso. Person has set aside money for his nozir sacrifices. And he didn't say which one is for chatos, which one is for the olan, which one is for the shlamim. Loinenin velo moalin. One is not to derive benefit from those monies, personal benefit. However, if one does, he won't be in violation of a Torah mi'ila sin. Why not? Mipnei shehein ru'uyin lavo kulan shlamim. All of the money that has been set aside could have been used to purchase a singular korban shlamim. A korban shlamim is a sacrifice that's part of the realm of kochim kalim, and kochim kalim don't have any mi'ila violation on them, certainly while they're alive. Even though they were sanctified and dedicated as a sacrifice, they are not subject to mi'ila until after they have been slaughtered and there is a problem of mi'ila regarding their innards. But while they're alive, kochim kalim have no mi'ila associated with them. And here we're talking about the money that was set aside for the nozir korbanos. Amongst the three korbanos that a nozir brings, one of them is a korban shlamim. So the money might have been used all for the shlamim itself. And shlamim doesn't carry with it any mi'ila penalty. That's why it says that there is no mi'ila on the monies set aside by the nozir. Mace. The hoyu lo mo'os stumen, yiplu l'nedava. The person who was a nozir, he died. And if he had undefined monies, that's mo'os stumen. They weren't identified which pile is for which kind of sacrifice. So let them yiplu l'nedava. The monies will be used to purchase a voluntary offering that will be offered on behalf of the public. Mo'os mefurashin. If the monies were specified, so demei chatos yechu liyam hamelach, the monies that were set aside for his korban chatos shall be taken to the salt sea where they're destroyed. You're dealing here with a chatos shemesu balea, and the rule of a chatos shemesu balea we saw in the previous Mishnah that it is to die. In this case, we're talking about the money that was earmarked for the chatos is to be destroyed. Loi nanin velo moyalin. One is not to benefit from these monies, but if he does, so he won't be over on mi'ila. Demei ola, the monies that he set aside for the ola sacrifice, yoviu ola umoalin bohen. He is to bring the survivors are to bring a korban ola with that money, and there will be a mi'ila violation if one benefits from them. Demei shlamim, yaviu shlamim, the money's set aside for the shlamim sacrifice, they will bring with it a korban shlamim, v'ne'echolin liyoyim echad, and the korban shlamim that they buy, this that the survivors buy, will be have to be eaten within 1 day, which is the same time frame allotted to the shalmei nozir. V'ein teunin lechem, the shlamim that are brought in the event that the owner died will not require the 20 loaves that are characteristic of a nozir shlamim sacrifice, an additional 20 loaves. So in this case, the loaves are not brought. The owner is dead. In our Mishnah, a point was made regarding the unspecified nozir funds. The Mishnah mentioned that there would be no me'ilah because all of the funds could have been used for the purchase of a korban shlomim. And the korban shlomim, being kochim kalim, has no me'ilah. Based on this point of the Mishnah, couldn't another example have been cited, also stating lo nehenin velo mo'alin, where one is not to benefit from them, but if something is benefited from, there would be no me'ilah violation, and that is in the form of a bird offering. Before learning the Gemara itself, a word of introduction is mandatory. Birds that are suitable for bird sacrifices include torin and b'nei yona. The torin bird is acceptable when it reaches a certain age of development, a certain level of development, and there are body signs on the bird to indicate it is now suitable for a sacrifice. With regard to the b'nei yona, they are suitable up till a certain point. So, to keep things simple, the b'nei yona type bird is good when it's young, and the torin type bird is good when it's older. That's by way of introduction. Now, the Gemara. Reish Lakish raises a question that lasts a couple of lines. Maskif lo Reish Lakish. V'lisni nami, let the Mishnah teach another example. Hamafrishmos lekino, a person who set aside money for a bird offering. Lo nanin v'lo moalin. Those monies, if one were to benefit from them, one shouldn't, that's lo nanin, but if one does, lo molin, he would not be in violation of me'ilah. Why not? B'pnei shehein ru'uyin lohavi torin shelo higiyazmanan. Well, the money could have been used for the purchase of torin birds that are still too young. U'b'nei yona she'ovar zmanan, or b'nei yona birds that have gone beyond their time. Now, since these are not fit to serve as bird sacrifices, they are considered pasul, they would not be kodshei Hashem, and therefore there would be no me'ilah on them. So couldn't this example have been included in the Mishnah? A person setting aside money for a bird offering and then buying birds that are not suitable, and then we could have said regarding those monies, since he had the potential for buying these unsuitable birds, there's no me'ilah regarding those funds. The Gemara answers, you know why this example wasn't taught? Omar Rava. Rava says there's a big distinction. On the one hand, Omra Torah v'mo'os stumin havei shlomim. The Torah is quite open to the idea of a person, a nozir, taking undefined monies and using the monies for a shlomim. There would be nothing wrong with that. However, Omra Torah, does the Torah say, Havei Torin shelo higiyaz manon she'enon ru'uyin lemizbeach? The Torah doesn't suggest a person bringing unfit birds. Therefore, with regard to the nozir example, since the use of the monies for shlomim is something within the realm of acceptability, we say that there's no milah because the monies are fit for buying a shlomim. However, to say regarding the bird offering example that the monies are fit for buying birds that are unfit, that's not true. The Torah, so we couldn't therefore say this reason for no mi'ilah, namely because the monies are fit for, when you're not supposed to bring Torin shelo higia zmanon. The Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hadam, regarding blood, kal betchila, v'chomer besofo. There's a point of leniency at the outset, and a point of stringency at the end. Nesachim, with regard to the liquid or wine offering, chomer betchilasan, v'kal besofon. There's a stringency at the beginning, and a leniency at the end. And now, this seemingly vague point will now be explained. Dam betchiloso ein moalin. The blood of a sacrifice, there is no mi'ilah associated with the blood that you receive at the point of slaughtering the animal. However, when you're finished with the sprinkling of the blood and then pour out the balance of the blood in a ditch that carries it out of the Azorah, out of the off the Harabayas, Yotza Lenachal Kidron Moalin Bo. Once the blood leaves the temple area, we're talking about the sacrificial blood that's carried out of the Beis HaMikdash through this ditch that leads to the Kidron Valley, then there is a rabbinic me'ilah prohibition to benefit from that blood. Nesachim, the wine offering, betchilasan moyalin bohen, before the wine is poured through the tubes of the Mizbeach, known as the Shisin, there is a violation, a me'ilah violation, in benefiting from that wine. Yordu l'shisin ein moalin bohen. Once the wine is poured down the Shisin, down the tubes, there is no longer any me'ilah. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that says Moalin Bedomim Divrei Rabbi Meir V'Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon say there is Mi'ilah regarding blood. V'Chachomim Omrim Ein Moalin. Chom say that there is no Mi'ilah when it comes to the sacrificial blood. Mai Taimo Demad Omer Ein Moalin. Why? Or what is the basis for saying that opinion of the Chachomim that there is no Mi'ilah Mid'oraisa on the blood, on sacrificial blood? You notice a series of diamonds in the outside margin. We explain under our no say mivne heading, the diamonds are deos, opinions, makoros, sources, we could say, lomar de'ein mi'ilah mid'oraisa b'dam, that on a Torah level, one can argue that there is no mi'ilah on regarding the blood. So we'll show you three sources to back up the opinion of the Chachomim. Another point is in this Gemara is Lahochiach de la Achar Zrika Ein Me'ilah, that after the sacrificial blood is sprinkled, there is no Me'ilah. Umitam Dover Shinaseis Mitzvah. So based on the idea that when an item has fulfilled the mitzvah that it's designed for, there is no longer any Me'ilah. The Gemara. My time all demandomer ein moalin. What is the basis of the opinion that says that blood is not subject to a mi'ilah violation? Omar kro ula quotes a posuk that says, Vani nosativ lochem. The posuk in the context of blood says, I've given it unto you. Shelochem hu, it is yours, it is for us to benefit from. Therefore, there's no mi'ilah. Of course, on a Torah level, there's no me'ilah. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana lechaper. The pasuk says regarding blood, it is lechaper. Lechapora nesativ. I've given it to you for atonement purposes. However, velo lemi'ilah. Now we should cite the entire pasuk, and we have it included on the inside margin of your page. You can see Vayikra Perek Yudzayin Posuk Yud Aleph says, Ki nefesh habosar b'dam hi, v'ani nasati v'lochem al ha-mizbeach l'chaper anaf shosechem, ki adam hu b'nefesh yichaper. So, Ula cited the lochem, that is, it is for us, for our benefit, hence we are allowed to benefit from the blood. Debei Rishmael cites the lichaper, that the blood's purpose is for atonement purposes, and that's it, and not for, not to create a mi'ilah violation. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Kroh, ki hadam hu benefesh yichaper. Emphasis on the word hu. Hu lifnei kaporo kila achar kaporo. The blood, prior to its being used in sprinkling on the mizbeach for atonement purposes, has the same status as the blood after it has been used for atonement purposes. Ma la'achar kapora ein bo mi'ilah. Just like after it has been used for atonement, there is no longer any mi'ilah. There isn't any mi'ilah violation. Af lifnei kapora ein bo mi'ilah. So too, even before it's used for its designed purpose for sprinkling and achieving atonement, also there is no mi'ilah. So we compare the post-kapora status, or we should say, we compare the pre-kapora status to the post-kapora status. Just like after kapora there is no mi'ilah, so too even before you've used it, there is no mi'ilah prohibition. You'll notice we have a triangle, and this is explained under the Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin. You see a triangle featured. This is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take or back-and-forth nature of this discussion. The point facing up represents she'ilos, and when the point flips over facing downwards, tshuvos, answers. So the Gemara now asks on Rabbi Yochanan's point, why not say the opposite? V'eimo hachi. Why not argue as follows? Ma lifnei kapora yesh bo mi'ilah. Just like before the blood is used for sprinkling, being that you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah yet, it carries with it a mi'ilah penalty, a prohibition of benefiting from it. Af la'achar kapora yesh bo mi'ilah. So too, after the blood has been used, one is not to derive personal benefit from it. The Gemara answers, V'chi yesh l'cho dover sh'naseis mitzvah so v'yesh bo mi'ilah? Is there any precedent for something concerning which the mitzvah has been performed and there is mi'ilah, and there is nevertheless mi'ilah associated with it? Being that at this point the feeling is that when an item is designed for a mitzvah, and the mitzvah has been performed already, at that point there is no mi'ilah. So the suggestion just made that just like before kapora there's mi'ilah, so to after kapora there should be mi'ilah, that's untenable. The Gemara asks, am I lo? Why are you so sure of that? Of saying that something that has been used already for its mitzvah cannot have mi'ilah. Hare trumas hadeshen shenase mitzvaso v'yesh bo mi'ilah. Trumas hadeshen, we've mentioned in the past, is the handful of ash removed from the mizbeach every pre-morning of the sacrificial day. In the early morning, hours of pre-dawn, a handful is removed from the mizbeach, a handful of ash, and placed to the side of the ramp leading up to the mizbeach. That's the Trumas Hadeshen. Now, it's ash coming from sacrifices that had been already burnt. So the mitzvah has been performed regarding the burning of sacrifices, and that handful of ash, if one were to derive personal benefit from it, he would be guilty of mi'ilah. So there is actually a precedent for saying something concerning which the mitzvah was done, and there is mi'ilah, giving rise to our suggestion as to the blood, that even though the mitzvah has been done already, Maybe we should say, just like before the mitzvah was done, before it was sprinkled, there is mi'ilah, so too afterwards there is mi'ilah. And if you would question, well, afterwards, how could there be mi'ilah? The mitzvah has already been done. Well, Trumas HaDeshen can be an example of something where the mitzvah was done and there is mi'ilah. The Gemara responds, Mishum dahave Trumas HaDeshen ve'evorei soya mishtaleach shnei ksuvim aboim ke'echot. The whole shnei ksuvim aboim ke'echot ein malamdin. You notice we have a double underline here, and there are a few more of these on the page. If we glance at the outside margin, the mivneh, the structural note that we have, explains the role of this double underline. These are nisyonos, attempts, lahavi dugmois, to bring examples, shel shnei ksuvim haboim keechod, two examples, two psukim, that come to teach me the same principle. Dvorim shenasis mitzvason, examples of things that the mitzvah has already been performed, and nevertheless, there still is a mi'ilah violation. Now, if we have a situation of shnei ksuvim boim kechod, the ein lomdin mehem, we don't learn, we don't allow a precedent to be formed when you have two examples that reflect the same idea. If you have one example that reflects a certain idea, we can say it serves as a precedent. If the Torah cites or has two examples, what the Torah is trying to say, that the principle in question applies only to these two items and not to anything else. Our note continues by saying that if we say ein lom de mehem, that if you have shneik so boy kechon, and in basically we hold we don't learn from them, umemele novin loma ein me'ilo bedam acharei shenizrak, we'll then understand why when it comes to blood there is no me'ilo after it has been used in atonement. So the Gemara mentions that Trumas HaDeshen, which is the handful of ash that we just mentioned, an example of something that the mitzvah has already been done, and Evorei Sor Mishaleach. The Sor Mishaleach is the goat that's brought on Yom Kippur, sent out of the Beis HaMikdash to a cliff where it is pushed off and dies and becomes dismembered. Those are the Evorim, the dismembered, the limbs of the dismembered Soir HaMishtaleach. The Torah tells us not to benefit from those limbs. An example of something that the mitzvah has already been done, and yet it carries with it a mi'ilah prohibition. So as such, you have Shnei Ksuvim HaBoyim Ke'echod. These are two examples of the mitzvah already having been done, and there is mi'ilah. V'chol shnei ksuvim haboyim keechod ein malamdin. And whenever you have two items or two examples teaching the same principle, we don't learn from them. Therefore, we could say that only in the case of Trumas HaDeshen and Evorei Sor HaMishlech do you have this phenomenon of Nasis mitzvoso, and there is milah, leaving room, therefore, to say that by everything else, specifically the case of the dam, once the mitzvah has been done with it, there is no longer any mi'ilah. Gemara asks, well, ho nicho lema domar evorei sorei mishlech einene mehen. This answer that we just gave will fit in well according to the opinion that says that the limbs of the sorei mishlech, one is not allowed to benefit from them. Elo lema domar nenin mehen. But according to the opinion that says you are allowed, you're entitled to benefit from the limbs of the Sor HaMishtaleach, so then what are you going to say regarding the blood? Because at this point then, you'll be left only with one example, namely the Trumas HaDeshen of something where there's Nasis Mitzvaso, and we do see Mi'ilah. So and that would then serve as a precedent for other things, including the blood. Think more answers. Mishum dahave lei trumas adeshen ubigdei kuno shnei ksuvim haboyim kechod. Because in addition to trumas adeshen, you have the issue concerning the bigodim, the clothing of the Kohen Gadol that are used on Yom Kippur. They are not to be used ever again, showing us that they are forbidden, or we can call that mi'ilah. There is mi'ilah on the regarding the big day kuna, even though they have already been used for their mitzvah. So truma sadesh and a big day kuna shnei ksuvim boim keachad b'chol shnei ksuvim boim keachad ein malamdin. So I won't learn from them, and rather they serve to be the exception to the rule. The rule saying dover shenaseis mitzvaso ein molin bo, and the exception being truma sadesh and a big day kuna. Mora asks, "Honichal Rabbanon the Amri v'nicham sham malamed shehein teunin geniza shapir." So the allowance of the blood after it's been used for its mitzvah and saying there's no mila works out only according to the opinion that says regarding the priestly garments that v'hinicham sham, the pasuk that applies to the priestly garments, to the big day kohen gadol, tells me that they need geniza, they need to be put away, buried, and put out of sight. So then we can say that's because any further use of it would be in violation of Mi'ila. Elo Rabbi Doiso Diomar Mutorin Hain L'Koyin Hedyot, but according to Rabbi Doiso, who says that those big day kahuna of the Kohen Gadol are still fit and useful for a Kohen, a common Kohen, and all the Torah is warning against is don't use it for another Yom Kippur, but they're still allowed to be used, then my ikol ameimar. I come back to the same problem we had before, that is that I have only Trumas Hadeshin as an example of Dovar Shenaseis Mitzvaso, and there is Mi'ila, and since it's only one, we don't have a problem of Sheik Sumay Boim Keachon, and I can actually learn from that. And the question then comes back, what about the blood? The Gemara answers, Mishum Dahave Trumas Hadeshin Vengla Rufo Sheik Sumay Boim Keachon. We still do have a snake some one kind of situation that is represented by the Trumas Hadeshen, something that's Naseis Mitzvaso and there's Mi'ila, and the Egla Rufa. The Egla Rufa is a calf that is brought in the event that a murder victim is found between two cities, so the closer city brings an Egla Rufa, and it's a calf whose neck is broken, and it is also to benefit, to derive personal pleasure from it, even though the mitzvah has been done. So that we have, then, Shnei Ksuvim HaBoim Keachon. Ha Nicha L'man Domer Ein Malamdus. We can say that the blood, after the mitzvah has been done, is mutter to benefit from, because I don't learn from Shnei Ksuvim HaBoim Keachon. Elo L'man Domer Malamdin Ma'ikul Meimar. But there is another opinion on this whole principle of Shnei Ksuvim that says that we are able to allow them to serve as a precedent for other things. If that be the case, then what are you going to say about the blood? It could be just like the Trumas Hadeshin and the Egla Rufa, one is not allowed to benefit from them even though the mitzvah has already been done. So too with the blood. Even though the atonement has been achieved, one is not allowed to benefit from it. The Gemara answers, Tre miuti ksivi. Regarding the examples that we just had, the Trumas Hadeshin and the Egla Rufa, the Torah is very specific in stating a limitation by these items, meaning only in these cases will there be mi'ila or a prohibition to benefit from it after the mitzvah, but not anywhere else. What are the two limitations? So, Ksiv Hossam, with regard to the calf in the Egla Rufa situation, it says, Ho Arufa. Telling me that only there is it also to benefit, but not by other things. Well, Ksiv Hossam, regarding the Trumas Hadeshin, the Pasuk says, V'samoy Eitzel HaMizbeach. That it shall be placed by the side of the Mizbeach, indicating a prohibition to benefit from it. Hani in, these yes, meaning these yes, there is a prohibition, midi achrino lo, but not by anything else. The Gemara continues, Nesachim b'tchilasen moyalin bohen, yardu l'shisen ein moyalin bohem. The Mishnah taught that the wine offering is subject to mi'ilah at the beginning, at the point that it's sanctified, but once it's poured down the tubes leading down from the Mizbeach, there is no longer Me'ilah. The Gemara opens with a question. It's a long question. You can see it's marked with a shin, a she'ela, with a vertical descending dashed line showing you that all of these lines help to form the question. Before getting into the Gemara itself, let's glance to see what we have on the outside margin under our Nosei heading. So we've written under the Nosei, Nisachim Acharei Yiridosin L'shisin, the wine after it descends into the tubes into which the wine is poured as it's offered on the Mizbeach. Lefi Mishnosenu Ein Bohen Mi'ilah. According to our Mishnah, there is no Mi'ilah, there is no prohibition, Mi'ilah prohibition, to benefit from the wine at that point. The Mivneh, we feature a structure here, and we've added Kach Nira Lefi Nes Daiti. This is my opinion of how to approach this Gemara structurally. You will see diamonds that surround the word lema, and we also have a Roman numeral number 1 and 2 to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. These represent shnei lishonos b'she'elas ha-psicha. They're two versions of what the opening question of this Gemara might be. Roman numeral 1 is Lemo Masnisin Dolo Krablozo Rabitzodok. Shall we say that our Mishnah is not according to Rabitzodok Rabitzodok? The second version, Ego Diamri, is Lemo Masnisin Kirabitzodok Rabitzodok. The second approach will be an attempt to say, let us say that our Mishnah is in accordance with him. In other words, it's a Mishnah that's authored by Rav Elazar ben Tzedek and not by the Rabbanan. Let us now turn to the Gemara. This we're calling the first version. Lemo masnisin delo k'Rav Elazar ben Tzedek. Let us say that our Mishnah that had mentioned Yardu l'shisin ein molin b'hen, once the wine goes down the tubes there is no longer any milah, is not in accordance with Rav Elazar ben Tzedek. Why not? The Sanya, we have a Tanaic source in which his opinion is featured. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzedek, Omer, Lul Katan Hoya Ben Kevesh L'Mizbeach. He says there was a small opening between the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach and the Mizbeach itself. It was a type of gap or space which was called Lul Katan. Bima Rovo Shel Kevesh, on the western side of that connection of the where the ramp meets the Mizbeach. Achas l'shivim shana, once every 70 years, pirchei kohuna yordim bo, young kohanim, small, they would go into this passageway, they would descend into this passageway, it's a vertical passage, we'll say, a space. Umevin yayin korosh, they would gather together congealed wine, shudoyme ligulei dvela, it was so thick it was like pressed figs, igulei dvela, pressed figs. They would gather together this wine, v'sorfen oisa b'kedusha, and they would burn it in a place of holiness, in the Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar b'kodesh hasech nesech shechor l'Hashem. Kishem shenisucha b'kedusha, just like the pouring of the wine is in the Beis HaMikdash, it's on the top of the Mizbeach. Kach sreifasa b'kedusha, so too the burning of the wine must be in a place of holiness. My mashma, how do you see in this pasuk any reference to the burning of the wine? And the burning of the wine in a place of kedusha. The Omer Ravino, Asya Kodesh Kodesh, there is a word comparison to be made using the word Kodesh. Ksiv Hocha Bakodesh. Here in this pasuk says, Bakodesh Hosech Nesa Shechel Hashem. Uksiv Hosam, Visarafta Es Hanoisar Boesh Velo Yochal Ki Kodesh Hu. Ma Nosar Srefosa Bukdusha, just like Nosar left over sacrificial meat that wasn't eaten is to be burnt in the Beis HaMikdash. Af Hai nami so to the nesachim sreifosoi bekedusha. Its burning must be in a place of kedusha, the burning of the wine after it has congealed down there in that lul koton. What do we see from this? Well, if you're telling me that after the mitzvah of the wine has been performed, namely the pouring on the mizbeach, you nevertheless still have to burn it, that shows us that it's forbidden to benefit from it, even though the mitzvah has already been done. And if it's forbidden to benefit from it, it must be that there is a mi'ilah violation associated with the wine, even though it's been poured down the shisin. What did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said, Yardu l'shisin ein moyalin bohen. Thereby making the Mishnah sound as if it's not in accordance with Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok. The Gemara answers. Now you'll notice we have a house form here and an aleph to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. A few lines later, you'll notice another house form, bays, numbered bays, and we've included based on the girsos, included another time, afilu tema. What we find in this Gemara is two answers to the opening suggestion that our Mishnah not like Rabbi Sodek? So Aleph says, you can say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Sodek, and at the bays, once again, yes, you can say that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok. There will be a very brief bracketed section, but the bracketed section will skip initially and then come back and explain what our purpose in this marking is. So, after having raised the question, should we say that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok, the Gemara answers, Afilu Tema, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok. You can say that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok. Umas Nisen, the Mishnah that indicated that wine poured down the shisen, there is no mi'ilah, the iklat. It was caught before it reached the ground. So if the wine was caught before it reached the ground, only upon reaching the ground does it gain the sanctity that was alluded to by Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok in his source. However, if it doesn't reach the ground and it's merely poured down the tubes, so the pouring down the tubes itself is the fulfillment of the mitzvah, and a subsequent sanctification does not take place because he caught it. That is what the Mishnah was talking about. And that's what the Mishnah could be, how the Mishnah could be understood according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok. Though he spoke about the need to burn the wine, that's only wine that received the sanctification upon hitting the ground, the floor of the Azorah. But if it doesn't reach the floor of the Azorah, it doesn't get this sanctity. And therefore, once the mitzvah is performed, namely it's poured down the tubes, there is no mi'ilah. So that simply the Mishnah and the source with Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok in it refer to two different aspects or two different examples. The Mishnah, a case where the wine was caught before it reached the floor, hence there is no mi'ilah. And the Tanaic source in the Gemara with Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok is the wine did hit the floor, thereby causing sanctity to settle upon it. And therefore, it must be burnt and not to be benefited from. Notice the brackets. It's a short section. There's a bracket length indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a vertical dash dotted line, showing you the end of the bracketed section. Ika di Amri, another approach to suggesting that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok. Afilu tema Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok. Umi de Rabbanon. The Mishnah is talking on a Torah level, that once the wine is poured down the tubes, there is no longer any mi'ilah. The Tanaic source featuring Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok is talking about a rabbinic level of consideration that says that there is mi'ilah and it needs to be burnt, but once again, only on a rabbinic level, a rabbinic stringency. But in the Tanaic source, he brought a posuk. So how can you tell me that this reference to there being a Mi'ila prohibition on the wine is only rabbinic? The Gemara answers, it is rabbinic, and the posuk is asmachta. The posuk is simply a way to remember, if you will, or it's a situation where the Rabbanan assigned or stated a law, and they made their law, made an allusion, they claim an allusion to their law is in the posuk, but it's not a real source for their law. The source for their law is a rabbinic restriction, and the posuk is simply an asmachta, something to rely on. We have a bracketed section. In the bracketed section, there is a different approach to how the opening of this Gemara may have taken place. Iko di Amri, Lemo Mas Nisin, Kireb Elozer Brabit Sadak. Should we say that our Mishnah is in conformity to Rabbi Elozer Brabit Sadak? According to our Mishnah, reference was made to the wine after it's poured down the tubes. There is no longer any mila. Namely, if you were to fetch the wine after it was poured down, if you were to gather it from the floor, so the Mishnah is telling you there is no mi'ila. That makes sense if you say that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Elozer Tzadok. Because according to the Rabbanan, the tubes descended into the very depths of the earth. The tubes that were at the top of the Mizbeach, descending through its height, the tubes in the Mizbeach were positioned over tubes that entered the ground of the world, and those tubes descended into the depths of the earth, so that wine, once it's poured down the shisin, there was nothing left. So there is no point in telling me that there is no mi'ila on it. Obviously there's no mi'ila, you can't even get it. So that our Mishnah that speaks about wine that you may get, you may gather together after it's been poured down, that becomes a reality only if you learn, like Rav Elozer Brasonic, that says that the tubes simply reached the floor of the Azara and no more. Therefore, the Mishnah, which speaks about wine after it's been poured down, but that you have it, and you're told the wine that you have, there is no mi'ila, that fits in with his scheme of things. So the Gemara therefore says at this second diamond, Lemo Mas Nisin Ke Rav Elozer Brasonic. The Gemara answers, Afilu Tema Rabbanan. No, the Mishnah could be in accordance with the Rabbanan. De'i Kolat. True, the tubes, according to the Rabbanan, go down into the very depths of the earth. However, if you want to speak about a case of the fetching the wine before, after they've been poured down, you could say it if you put some catching device on the way down, so that you would be able to catch the wine before it goes down into the very depths. And regarding that, the Mishnah is telling me there is no mi'ila. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.